Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and boarded my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck. So you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. Let's take attendance, see who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks, and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan. Terry Bores!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have a game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Dam Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
He's the best. AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
J.D. Martinez.
They say we suck, we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together. Let's go have fun sucking.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Tyler Farengel.
I suck, so you guys don't have to.
We are right here for you. We are Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to, as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to our text lines. All right, this is the day the Saturday Suckage brings you the receipts. We have all the receipts. We're going to bring them to you, many with audio. Audio receipts, they're just the best. They're incontrovertible. Let's start with this. Bears fans held hostage day 20. Remember when titular GM Ryan Poles claimed his group was brought in to break the cycle, end quote, of crapping the bed with quarterback prospects? Yeah. Well, Ryan Poles has bleeped up Caleb Williams' development so badly that there's Ryan Poles giving him a standing ovation. Remember that? Remember when he said that? We have receipts. And the receipts start with Robert Griffin III going on social media and offering this on Caleb Williams and the Bears.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that. Eli Manning had power in that 2004 draft, and he let the Chargers know, don't draft me. I don't believe in the direction that your organization is going, and I don't want to play there. He refused to play for them, even threatened to sit out an entire season if they drafted him. And they still drafted him. And the look on his face when he's holding up the jersey said everything. So what happened? The Chargers traded him to the New York Giants for Philip Rivers, also a 2004 third round pick, and then the first and fifth round picks in the 2005 NFL draft. What did Eli end up doing? He won two Super Bowls for the New York Giants, had a great career. So, for Caleb Williams, don't get me wrong, guys. I thought Ryan Poles was having an amazing offseason up until this trade for Justin Fields, because you trade Justin Fields so you can get some players back to help your team out this year. Because Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears, they're in a lame duck season. They have to win this year or they're going to get fired. And don't get me wrong. Hey, hand the football off to DeAndre Swift, throwing the ball to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Those guys are phenomenal. This ain't anything about them. This is about Caleb Williams and what team out there gives him the best chance to be successful. Only he can deem that. Yes, I do think him going back to Washington, where he's from, he's a DC kid, went to Gonzaga College High School. Okay, I think that's the best spot for him. But he has to answer that question. And if he says, all right, I see everything that's been going on, and now I can make the decision and say, I don't think that the Chicago Bears are the best place for me or my family to accomplish all the goals that we want to accomplish, then he needs to let that be known. He does have power right now, and he should exercise it if he feels like Chicago is not where he should be.
How smart does RG3 sound now? That was on his social media in the spring, obviously before the draft. Don't draft me, he's saying. Don't draft me. Now, some dismissed it. Like, oh, you can't do that. Some ranted about it. How smart does he look now? How smart does he look compared to Ryan Poles and his quarterback incubator, ladies and gentlemen? So there was RG3 making that statement. And Ryan Poles rebutted it, addressed it on a Pat McAfee show back in the spring.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City. Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
Guess what? Where you're going is where you've already been. If you're the Bears, if you're a Bears fan, this all looks familiar. You're killing the best quarterback prospect Hallis Hall has ever seen. I told you we had the receipts. There's RG3 saying, don't. Caleb Williams, tell the Bears not to draft you. There's Ryan Pohl saying, it pisses me off. Guess what? RG3 was right. You'll be pissed off all you want, Ryan Poles, but he's right. You're wrong. The smothering stench of stupid continues to asphyxiate those entering Hallis Hall. And remember when Caleb Williams was said to be walking into a great, maybe the greatest situation a number one quarterback could have? All those weapons. The greatest situation. And it looked like it was true. That greatest situation has turned out to be the worst situation. A comically stupid environment because of the GM and the coach. The GM was so obsessed with acquiring pretty shiny things that Williams could play with that he didn't think to protect the guy. He didn't think to protect the most valuable asset in Bears history. Certainly recent Bears history. And the coach has been even worse, creating a dumb and bad environment from weak practices, bad play calls, to accepting responsibility way too late and lamely when he finally did. Caleb Williams has seen the NFL from a laughingstock standpoint. Welcome to the Bears, kid. RG3 tried to warn you. Eberflus tried to take responsibility for blowing the biggest game of the season and the play leading up to the event that ruined the year in Washington. He refused to admit he screwed up the call. No matter how many Commanders people said that without Eberflus's brain fart, it never would have happened. Eberflus said it was execution. We got to execute better. That's code for it's on the players. Meaning that the Doug Kramer, well, the Caleb Williams fumble trying to hand off to Doug Kramer. Execution is what Eberflus said. Guess what? His players said otherwise. So much so and so loudly that Eberflus had to call another one of those signature meetings that the Bears have, that bad teams have, and he had to tell his players to shut up about a coach's stupidity. Then came a distracted week that a strong leader would have shaken free of. But Eberflus is weak and insecure or dithering or all of it. His players reflected that. Pathetic performance against Arizona. They came out unprepared and uninspired. And here's the thing that changed and looked so false and disingenuous. Eberflus immediately came out and took all the responsibility. My fault. Bad defensive plays, my fault. Bad offense, my fault. My fault. I take all responsibility. Full responsibility. Really? Nobody believes you now. You blame the players. The players took it personal. They suck. They were uninspired. And you are desperate. You are too late with that. You are disingenuous. You are not authentic. And then came something even worse. It just keeps getting worse with these guys. This is so Trestman-like when you thought the 50-burger against New England, and then there was the 42-burger in the first half against Green Bay, and he should have been fired at halftime. Eberflus should have been fired after the New England game because the Patriots came in with a number one draft choice, and they smacked Eberflus's team again. Unprepared. Uninspired, the worst game of the season, which is saying something when you know what happened in Washington. And there's Eberflus again trying to make up to his players. Oh, it's my fault. My fault. I did that. I'm responsible for everything. All the bad stuff, all on me. But not. Because Shane Waldron was the one who was fired. And Eberflus didn't even want to fire him, according to reports. He just wanted to demote him. Some of the adults in the room said, no, you got to fire him. And maybe they said, you can fire him or we can fire you and him. We don't know. At least I don't. So Eberflus had to fire another coordinator because he sucks at hiring coaches. He absolutely had to get the OC spot right this year because Caleb Williams is the most important person to walk into Hallis Hall since forever. Eberflus screwed it up the way he screwed up with Luke Getsy. The only thing you can say about Eberflus is screwing up Shane Waldron is that at least this didn't require human resources and or the FBI involvement. The more someone has to say, I'm taking responsibility, the more desperate he is. The less he's taking responsibility, the more he's just filling the air with blather. Eberflus's blather is a regular thing. It's like a gas. It fills the entire room and it's toxic. He started taking the blame only after his players revolted, and now he can't stop. Why would you believe this guy? If you're a player, why would you believe this guy? There's nothing sincere there. It's all disingenuous. There's nothing authentic. There's no credibility. He's a joke of a leader. Welcome to the Bears version of the NFL, Caleb Williams. RG3 called it for you. This is what your greatest prospect, greatest quarterback prospect in history is looking at. He's learning the NFL from a weak coach and a soft GM. Maybe also learning it from a team president who does nothing except leak stupid stadium rumors. Caleb Williams looks like he's regressing to Trubisky levels. And in a toxic environment from the sounds of it. Coach can't hire assistants. The GM can't hire coaches. This is stupid squared. This is Hallis Hall. This is the Bears. Eberflus' legacy. We can see it now. It's heading toward killing the greatest quarterback prospect the Bears have ever had. Killing him physically, mentally, emotionally. Ditto Ryan Poles. Ditto Ryan Poles. Hired to break the cycle. Quarterback is more important than the head coach. Poles should know this. Perhaps he doesn't. He should have fired Eberflus to save his quarterback. He's going to have to fire Eberflus in January to save his job. You watch. He was hired to break the cycle, and all Ryan Poles is doing is perpetuating the incompetence at Hallis Hall and endangering the health of your greatest quarterback prospect ever. How does he still have a job? I'll hang up and listen for the humana from Trace Armstrong. Take a break here on Saturday Suckage. Thank you for listening. We'll come back and we'll talk to Mark Potash about the events this week and just where it stands in not just this year, although I think it's pretty special, but this week compared to other weeks he's seen on the Bears beat for the Sun-Times. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 6.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
70 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage indeed. I suck so you don't have to. The Bears are making this very taxing to try. Before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelios. Lawrence Holmes, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley will be live at Wonderverse in Oak Brook as they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Speaking of Olin Krutz is on with Spiegs and Holmes. We're going to bring that back to you in the 1 o'clock hour. Oh, my God. Apoplectic Olin Krutz is the best Olin Krutz, as long as it's like on the radio. Because if he were in a room with me, I would fear that he would squeeze my head like a zit. At 1 o'clock, Mark Grody covers the Bears for The Score. He used to be on this show. This is his show. He used to be on the show, and he's not on the show, but he will be today at 1 o'clock. Habarkish at noon. And now, we're going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And welcome back to the show. Mark Potash covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. How you doing, Mark?
I am doing as well as I can be expected to be doing.
I know you've been put through the ringer. You've been like, now you know what dough feels like going through the pizza roller, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah, for the third or fourth time even.
I was going to ask, I teased this. Where does this week rank in terms of Bears weeks for you?
Wow, I really didn't think of it like that. Actually, I kind of did because I was thinking back to the last time they were in this kind of dysfunction heading into a game against Green Bay, and it was 2014, when they had just lost to the Patriots like 53-50 to 30-20. I don't know. They gave up 50 points. And then they're going into the bye, and we talked to Trestman and the GM, Phil Emery, because it was a bye week, and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to self-scout and rededicate ourselves and find out all the problems, and then we'll be ready for the Packers. And by halftime, Aaron Rodgers had thrown 6 touchdown passes, and they were down 42-0, and the Trestman-Emery era was officially over for all intents and purposes. So it's not quite like that, but although relative to expectations of this season and where you thought this team was heading, you know, potentially when we look back on this, you know, pretty bad. Yeah, this is really disappointing. I don't know what else to say. Just it's so uncanny how no matter how optimistic things look at the beginning of the year, even relative to just previous years, we always end up in the same exact spot. It's just unbelievable. So to answer your question, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But that's the first thing I think of is that 2014 situation, because it was when you first started thinking about, not first, but when you started thinking about Trestman, maybe some doubts after a promising first year, and then that just totally, you know, pulled the rug out from under him. And we're at that point, if not further along, with Matt Eberflus and maybe even Ryan Poles with the Bears. So, you know, they've got they definitely have some work to do on Sunday.
When you say Ryan Poles, do you think his job's in jeopardy?
No, I really don't. He's going to get his second coach. I mean, you know, it's definitely on him. And I think we've seen enough of Matt Eberflus to know that he's, you know, the only thing that can turn it around for him is only his team can save him. I think we know who he is as a head coach in the NFL. And he's a really good defensive coordinator, basically. But that was his first hire. And that was, obviously to me, we questioned it at the time, you know, that, you know, the idea that he would find his coaching soulmate in 24 hours after being hired, pulls it. It seems strange. And sure enough, that wasn't it. So I guess my point is, if Ryan Pace got 7 years, Poles is certainly going to get at least another head coaching hire. So I don't think there's an issue there. But I will say this, there are many more doubts about Ryan Poles now after Velus Jones was cut, after Nate Davis was cut. with the Eberflus situation now deteriorating than there were at the beginning of the year when he was kind of living off the glow of that fantastic trade, which not looking as fantastic as it was, but still, you know, the hallmark of his tenure, you know, pulling off a really good trade that still has potential, you know, to be, you know, just an absolute landslide for him. So the sheen of that is worn off at this point. And so there are doubts there. But like I said, I don't think it's going to go the Emery route, because I just think he's going to get a chance to hire a second coach and get it right.
My guest is Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. We're talking Bears here on The Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you, fellow Suckageers, for joining. Speaking of sucking, just because Ryan Pace got 7 years, so many of them were a mistake to add on to allow them to happen. You're assuming, you're talking as if Ryan Poles gets to keep his job because the Bears haven't learned anything.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
well,
how the Bears do business.
They Bears it up. But see, I could make a very compelling case that, and it's not that hard, anybody could do this, saying Ryan Poles needs to go just like Eberflus, because Ryan Poles got the coach wrong. And worse than that, he is killing his quarterback, failing to protect him from a physical standpoint with an offensive line that is respectable, failing to protect him from a head coach who keeps him at the end of the games that are done, and seeing the beating he's taken. Ryan Poles has failed to upgrade at the coach position when he had a chance, and it's at the point now. Guess what? Carolina's won 3 games. That Carolina draft pick, the second round pick, might be lower than the Bears' second round pick next year. And you're looking at all kinds of reasons that Ryan Poles could be and should be fired, because he had a hand in this offensive coordinator. And somebody didn't do any kind of detail work that would have protected you against the embarrassment of so many assistant coaches that your coach hired.
Yeah, I cannot reject that argument at all, especially when you think about it. I mean, even Emery didn't get a second coach. He was fired. So you've got that factor. Then you've got the Kevin Warren factor. This is not the team president that hired him. So you've got that factor as well. So, I cannot disagree with that. And if that happens, I can't say it would surprise me because things have changed. And the quarterback thing is the key. I mean, when you're looking at that second round pick, which is like the last thing in the whole world that anybody cared about at the beginning. When you start looking at that as part of, you know, helping the trade out, then you know you got a problem. But anyway, there's too much talk about that second round pick and where it is. I'm sorry, that was like the 10th piece of the prize, and it should not be a big issue. But anyway, I feel like I totally agree that the quarterback situation really heightens, turns up the heat on everybody in the building, because they can't ruin this quarterback. And that's the difference, in my opinion, what we're seeing now. Now, Sunday could change everything, but what we're seeing now is the difference between Trubisky and Fields and the argument that maybe he's ruined it, that Bears ruined this quarterback. I disagree with both those guys. I think it's proven it was a quarterback. But this guy, I really think the regression is risking the possibility of ruining this guy, or making him not, you know, just or just, you know, not ma- or making him the a different quarterback than the one you drafted. So that definitely is cause for concern. That is definitely certainly a reason to make big changes, and it could happen. But I still feel like I think the Bears won't. I don't think the season will go that far south. That quickly that will ensue. Although that comment I just made will self-destruct in like 48 hours, possibly. Yes. Yeah, so beware of that as well. I know how bad that can look because it's the Packers.
When it's 42-0 at halftime, yeah, that might need to be rethought. All right, so
before too.
Yeah, for the time being, your new offensive coordinator is your passing coordinator, and they sucked as a passing team. And that's where we are with Thomas Brown. So what can you expect? What do you expect to see tomorrow?
Well, you know, just I will say this, you know, that change sometimes is just good. I mean, so there is possibility, even though he was not, his resume is not that great, you know, what he did in Carolina, kind of had his hands tied there, and what they've done with the passing game here, you know, not that great. There will be a fire the coordinator bump that the Bears will get. The only question is how effective it will be and how long it will last. Sometimes it lasts one game. Sometimes it lasts one quarter. But I think it will be there. But they have so many issues offensively that I'm just not sure against the defense. I think ranks 11th in points allowed. I'm not sure just how effective. I don't think they'll just turn around automatically and just start scoring big points. A lot of those bumps you see when teams fire coordinators or coaches, they come against beatable teams, and the Bears aren't playing one of those. So I'm not sure what to expect, because I just don't know what his style is, and he has not had this kind of a roster to deal with offensively. So there's really, to me, there's no telling what he'll do. All I can say is it should almost certainly be better than what we've seen the previous three games with Shane Waldron, because just for any reason, these guys just feel a lot better about themselves. This is a much needed and necessary change that the players, not maybe actively, but certainly at least passively in some way, kind of made happen. So I guess what I'm saying is, in a roundabout way, is I expect there to be an improved performance by the Bears. I'm just not sure, like I said, you know, how much of an effect it'll have or how long it'll last.
If you were Thomas Brown and you've seen the Bears in the past with quarterbacks, you've seen this quarterback, and you've just seen the parade of offensive coordinators, what would be the first two or three things you would do with Caleb Williams?
Well, first of all, protect him. Do everything you can to, like, shore up the offensive line. That's where everything starts. That's the downfall. That's, you know, everything that Ryan Pohl said about the plan for Caleb Williams and taking the heat off him was true, I think, at least on paper, except for one thing. The offensive line was worse than he thought and not as deep as he thought. He's got to shore up that offensive line. Now he should get back Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, loses Tevin Jenkins, but he's got Ryan Bates to step in there. So that's actually, they're going to be better than they were the last week and maybe even the week before on their offensive line. So I think he's going to just make it at least start out making it as simple as possible for this offense. And that starts with the offensive line, but you're going up against the defense is pretty good. So it might not work out as well as you want. But the first thing they have to do is just, you know, obviously solidify the offensive line, get the offense going, run the ball first, run the ball, not only run the ball, but run the ball to set up the pass, which they really haven't done a really good job of. And then just find a way to convert third downs and just be on point. And that's the other thing, is just be on point, you know, cut out the pre-snap penalties. He has to instill some kind of a fear or whatever it is that just forces these guys to just play better. And I guess instill kind of a focus is probably what I'm saying. And they just have to play more focused. More simple, and they have to protect their quarterback. And I think those are going to be the keys to at least him having a successful first game.
Shane Waldron and Eberflus, by extension, allowed them to get sloppy and take shortcuts and hacks. That's what Keenan Allen said. And Keenan Allen indicted not just the coaches for, you know, coach us harder or tell us what to do or be tougher on us, but he indicted his teammates for not being professional, for not having the pride to do everything right, to make sure your details were covered, to do everything you had to do to practice. He just leveled the organization with that.
And he's not the only one. He's the one who said it the most directly, but he's not the only one to kind of intimate that or imply that. I mean, even DJ Moore after Sunday's game was asked about accountability, and he said, yeah, we've been doing it, but we got to take it to another level. Mm-hmm. I mean, that also indicates that they just have not been being held accountable. In week three, you know, I always said, you know, when you have an intervention by your leadership council in week three, never a good sign. And sure enough, it was not a good sign. It was an absolute red flag. In week three, they were saying, we want to be coached better right then and there. The big question is, the guy who falls on is Eberflus. He's the hits principal guy. He's the attention to detail guy. He's the guy who's supposed to be the exact opposite of what Shane Waldron ended up being. So the question is, how could he not know that Shane Waldron wasn't that kind of guy? Or why did Shane Waldron not become that kind of guy once he walked in the building? Maybe a better question. And also, why didn't he do any? Why didn't he do more about it in those early weeks that would have set them up to play off of that three-game winning streak better than they did? Why couldn't he see the issues that kind of lack of attention to detail and accountability was going to cause? That's his job as a head coach. The DC doesn't see that, but the head coach is supposed to see that coming, especially when it's your hire, and he didn't see it. So, frankly, all these issues all come back to Eberflus and his inability to be the guy that he needed to be the head coach of the Bears.
Well, that's great. We'll welcome your next article on whoever the new coach is going to be as we run down all the names. Mark, I appreciate
I just change all the Nagy's to Eberflus and all the Paces to Poles, and I'm done in 5 minutes.
Excellent. I think after seeing the way Ryan Poles has screwed up Caleb Williams, I think Ryan Pace is out there in Atlanta giving him a standing ovation because he's a member of the club.
Well, I think Ryan Pace is actually doing pretty well since he left Hallis Hall. That's kind of interesting to me. So he's actually gotten two promotions, and he's actually, I think, director of player personnel. He's actually had a hand in rebuilding that team, which is very interesting that he's a much better version of himself in Atlanta than he was in Lake Forest.
Well, there's no
something to think about.
There's no McCaskies and the smothering stench of stupid in Atlanta, apparently. Congratulations. Mark, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Talk to you later.
You just got it. All right, it's Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. So we talked about Thomas Brown and the Thomas Brown affair. I'm going to take a break when I come back. The Thomas Brown affair was actually, it carried on last year. So here's your and here's your next on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Top of the hour, talk to Hub Arkish, senior NFL analyst for The Score. 1 o'clock, Mark Rohde. And in 1 o'clock hour, we will bring you Olin Krutz, talking with Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel. Yesterday, apoplectic Olin is the best Olin, and you'll hear apoplectic Olin. And by the way, you can hear Olin, Lawrence, and Patrick Manley, Bears pregame show, right here on The Score, the local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 Score, presented by Aurelio's. That will be live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook. They'll be there for the postgame show as well, the Great Clips postgame show. And we'll bring you Olin. It's sort of an all-Olin weekend, right? Weekend at Olin's, but just wear a Kevlar. All right, so the Thomas Brown affair begins tomorrow for the Bears. It began last year for the Panthers. The Bears this year have lost three consecutive games. They've scored 27 points in those three games. They've gone two straight games without a touchdown. Just to clarify, not a good thing. They began their week ranking 30th in total offense, 30th in passing, 32nd in sacks, 31st on third down, 24th in scoring. But now here comes Thomas Brown, the new offensive coordinator. Previous, I think the passing coordinator, I don't know, some silly title, whatever they told him. Anyways, they were the third worst passing team in the league, and he's in charge of the whole offense. So here's interim coach, inexplicably still employed, Matt Eberflus, talking about Thomas Brown and the new offensive coordinator.
Pleased with the team this week. You know, obviously with the change, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, I thought Thomas did a really good job of bringing the guys together for this plan, getting them ready to perform on Sunday. Coaches and players. I really see a lot of collaboration between the groups. And again, it happened before, but I did see it more and more this week. Guys tightening it up and getting together. So I was pleased with that.
So much wrong with that. So much wrong with that. The disingenuous Matt Eberflus. He used the collaboration word that harkens back to the last failed administration. Collaborate. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, we're going to collaborate. That's what Ted Phillips said. That's what George McCaskey said. Collaborate. How'd that work out for everybody? I mean, there's just so much wrong with that. Thomas Brown took over play calling from Frank Reich last season in Carolina. also with a number one overall pick at quarterback, having all kinds of trouble. The Panthers at the time were 0-6. Reich was eventually fired at 0-11. You figure the O-N is going to get to you. I don't know who was calling every play every which way in every game. But I know this during the time Thomas Brown was there. From the time he took over, starting in game 7, the Panthers scored more than 18 points once in the remaining 11 games. In 4 of their last 5 games, they never reached 10 points. They were shut out in their final 2 games. He sounds like a perfect offensive coordinator for a broken number one pick at quarterback at Hallis Hall. Now, Mark Potash just on talked about the offensive coordinator bump. Well, it couldn't be a bigger ditch than what the Bears are in. But Thomas Brown's track record in a similar situation doesn't look particularly appetizing. Matt Bowen, score regular, had a checklist. He tweeted out a checklist for offensive coordinator Thomas Brown. Number one, get extra numbers in the box for a run game. Number two, engineer wide receiver separation with picks, clear replace, motion at the snap. Three, incorporate max protection. Well, you're not going to get a lot of guys out in the pattern if you got max protection. Four, find 4 run plays that mirror pass attempts and have 3 screens ready. Matt, I respect your football knowledge. I would not have them ready. I would have them executed. The Bears have always had screenplays ready. They can't execute them. And number 5, run 1 gadget play a week. You know what serves as a gadget play now with Caleb Williams and that offensive line? A straight drop back. That's a gadget play. One of the things, if there's nothing else that Thomas Brown does, develop a play. Develop, run, execute a play for and one, and goal, whatever it is, wherever you are. This is the kind of play it is. You know your team is going to run it. Your team knows you're going to run it. They, the opponents, know you're going to run it. And you run it, and they know they can't stop it. That play. Not the handoff that never happened to Doug Kramer. And if it serves for now that Roschon Johnson taking the ball is that guy, get your 1 yard, fine. And if Doug Kramer's going to block, fine. Shane Waldron, among all his faults in letting the players off the hook and not demanding responsibility and accountability to details, and Eberflus not making Waldron do that or not hiring the right guy, but letting the players get away with slacking, as Keenan Allen said. One thing that Shane Waldron never did was develop that play. Get that play. How many times you see 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, they're going to go for it. You have that play, 4th-and-2. You have that play. You run that, and you are sparking your team. Run, find that play. Run that play. Do that. Shane Waldron never did. There's a lot he never did. That was one of the things. If Thomas Brown does nothing else, and guess what? It could happen tomorrow. Green Bay sucks in the red zone. The Bears are pretty good in the red zone. Green Bay's offense sucks in the red zone. You're going to have chances to get the ball in important situations. If you can matriculate the ball down the field, it may require that you have an and one play. Execute. That'll be more than whatever you had before. I'm Steve Rosenblum. I'll take a break. We come back. Habarkish, get his thoughts on the week of what misery, what soul-crushing beardom there was. This is Saturday Suckage, your perfect place to talk about it. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.